Welcome to Bhakti Con. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavanand Prabhuji on the call to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, 14th Chapter, 38th Sloka. Before handing over the call to Prabhuji, I would like to ask Induleka Karuna Mataji to give a brief introduction about Prabhuji. Mataji, please take over.
Hare Krishna, Nandapriya Mataji. Hare Krishna, all the devotees. Dandavat Pranam. So today we have a very short introduction on His Grace Keshavanand Prabhu. Dr. Keshavanand Prabhu was a professional doctor for many years and he is now a practicing monk. Since the last 20 years, he has conducted extensive research and authored books in the fields of science and spirituality. He feels the rift between science and spirituality must disappear to bring peace in the world. If spirituality is a superstition and a myth, science is materialistic and atheistic. A new approach to life is needed today that can bring the best of both. Science must re-embrace spirituality and be humble to admit its defects, flaws, and ignorance. And spirituality must base itself on sound, scientific, and rational ideas. His Grace Keshavanand Prabhuji has studied both Vedic and Western philosophy. Besides learning Sanskrit, he also learned Bengali, Gujarati, Marathi, and Kannada to know about other traditions. His persistent endeavor in the field of science and spirituality has enabled him to come up with seminars on diverse topics like science and the Vedas, mind and machines, science fails to explain life, consciousness and beyond, etc. that he has presented in various colleges in India, Europe, and America. Under the guidance of his spiritual master, His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj, he has also started a Gurukul, a traditional system of Vedic education in Punjab, India, where children learn the ancient Vedic culture and values. Besides, he has started a farm community. The community has a traditional way of living with mud huts and thatch roofs, with cows and, of course, farming. The communities will set a model for the world to show how to live a life based on the principles of simple living, high thinking. Hare Krishna. I think Prabhuji is already on the call.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for the introduction. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, please accept my below best this. All glories to Sri Prabhupada, all glories to Guru. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Have you read the verse, by the way?
No, Prabhuji. Should we read, Prabhuji?
Yeah, you can read, yeah. That's a good thing.
Sure, Mataji. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, Text 38. Etasmin samsara dvani nana klesho pasarga badhita apanna vipano yatras yastam uha bhavetaras Tatra visrajya jatam upadaya shochan muhyan bibhyad vivadan krandan samhrasyan gayan nakyamana sadhu varjito naivavartate dvayipi yata arabdha esha naraloka sartho yam advayan param upadishanti. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The path of this materialistic world is full of material miseries and various troubles disturb the conditioned souls. Sometimes he loses and sometimes he gains. In either case, the path is full of danger. Sometimes the conditioned soul is separated from his father by death or other circumstances. Leaving him aside, he gradually becomes attached to others such as his children. In this way, the conditioned soul is sometimes illusioned and afraid. Sometimes he cries loudly out of fear. Sometimes he is happy maintaining his family. And sometimes he is overjoyed and sings melodiously. In this way, he becomes entangled and forgets his separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead since time immemorial. Thus, he traverses the dangerous path of material existence. And on this path, he is not at all happy. Those who are self-realized take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to get out of this dangerous material existence. Without accepting the devotional path, one cannot get out of the clutches of material existence. The conclusion is that no one can be happy in material life. One must take to Krishna consciousness. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, by thoroughly analyzing the materialistic way of life, any sane person can understand that there is not the least happiness in this world. However, due to continuing on the path of danger from time immemorial and not associating with saintly persons, the conditioned soul under illusion wants to enjoy this material world. Material energy sometimes gives him a chance at so-called happiness, but the conditioned soul is perpetually being punished by material nature. It is therefore said, Dandya jane raja yena nadite kubaya. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 20.118. Materialistic life means continuous unhappiness, but sometimes we accept happiness as it appears between the gaps. Sometimes a condemned person is submerged in water and hauled out. Actually, all of this is meant for punishment, but he feels a little comfort when he's taken out of the water. This is the situation with the conditioned soul. All the Shastras therefore advise that one associates with devotees and saintly person, people. Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastrakaya, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhihaya. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 22.54. Even by a little association with devotees, the conditioned soul can get out of this miserable material condition. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to give everyone a chance to associate with saintly people. Therefore, all the members of this Krishna conscious society must themselves be perfect sadhus in order to give a chance to fallen conditioned souls. This is the best humanitarian work. Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you, Mataji. I'll just take on. Is my voice clear absolutely to all of you?
Yes, Prabhuji. It's very clear.
Okay. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namah. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vracharine. So this verse is, in a nutshell, this verse is informing us that this material world is full of miseries and troubles. That's what this verse is all about. It's a lengthy verse, but the essence is short. And the sense is that this world is full of miseries and troubles. Of course, how this world is full of miseries and troubles, that is explained in this verse. Now you have just read. Now the explanation is given why this world is full of miseries and troubles. Because it doesn't seem like that to people who have not associated with devotees and have not read scriptures. So there are some logics given in this verse as to why do scriptures call this word as Dukhalyam. Krishna says in the Dukhalyam, a place of miseries, a place of death. So why it is explained. Sometimes the person loses, sometimes he gains. In either case, the path is full of danger. Both in loss, in this world, we lose something and we gain something. But the conclusion is in both the situations, the path is full of danger. Why? Because if you lose something, then of course you enter troubles and anxieties. But if you gain something, still you have anxieties and troubles, because to gain something you need to have stress, at least in the modern world. You need to do something and you will face stress, and then you can gain some money and then you can buy something. And then you have also fear of losing that thing. So when you have something, you have fear of losing that thing. And when you don't have anything, then you have a fear of insecurity. But nevertheless, in both the conditions, there is fear and anxiety. And that is why the conclusion is, in both the cases, either loss or gain, the path is full of danger. And then it is also said, sometimes conditioned soul is separated from his father by death or the circumstances. Another problem with this material world is this world is word of death. This word is called word of death. So everybody has to die here. And of course that's not a problem if you die, but the problem is when people die or when others die, then we get separated from. And that gives us a lot of unhappiness and misery, especially when you're near and dear ones, they leave you. Then people get distressed. People get distressed to the point sometimes people faint, or sometimes their BP shoots up, so they have to be admitted to a hospital. That's the level of distress is there when people die. And then sometimes children die, and sometimes conditioned soul is illusioned and afraid. Sometimes he cries out loudly out of fear. Sometimes he is happy. So sometimes we are fearful, miserable, desperate, frustrated. And other times we are happy, feeling pleasure, happy maintaining family, and overjoyed and singing melodiously. So, but both cases is a problem. When you are enjoying with the family, you are becoming more attached and you are becoming more bound in this material world. And when you are alone, then we have fear. So Prabhupada says, thus everyone traverses the dangerous path of material existence, and on this path he is not at all. So the point in this verse is that we have to be convinced that material world is dukkhalayam, it is full of miseries and troubles. It's not a nice place to live. That's the whole idea. This world is not a nice place to live. And of course, so there was a song by Michael Jackson. I heard him when I was a child. So he presented this song in actually Grammy Awards. There was Grammy Award. And they were presenting this song. Make it a better place to live. That was the song. But that can't be done. You can try. UNESCO, UNICEF, they have been trying. But it is making the situation more worse rather than more better. That's the nature of this material world. The nature of this material world is to give miseries to the conditioned soul. That's why this material world is designed, by the way. You can't expect happiness in prison. Why? Because the government designed the prison to give punishment to criminals. So similarly, you can't expect happiness in this material world. Although economists and many politicians, they might not accept this proposal, or maybe our scientists, they will not explain this proposal. Okay, this universe is moving by laws of nature, and so we have no explanation for this, so whatever scripture says, okay, it's place of miseries, they don't accept it. It is made of laws of nature. Everything is by chance, and well, you can adjust your situation and become happy. That's all. But no, scriptures inform us this is designed to give you miseries by God. When it is designed to give you miseries, then you can't expect happiness. But the so Prabhupada gives example of this Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhilila. Prabhupada says is that Tande Jane Raja Jena Nadite Chupai. So sometimes when in previous days people were like criminals, they were tortured by the king. So what the king used to do? They used to dip their faces in the water. So that person will be grasping for breath. And he will be very suffocated. But then when he's about to die, so he can't breathe anymore. Then what happens is he's just lifted up from the pool. And then he can take a lot of breath and then again he's put inside. So Prabhupada says that materialistic life means continuous unhappiness. But sometimes we accept happiness as it appears between the gaps. Sometimes a condemned person is submerged in water and hauled out. Actually, all of this is meant for punishment. But he feels a little comfort when it's taken out of the water, you see. So ultimately, even the comforts of this material world is designed to give you punishment and miseries, ultimately. We have comforts, you become settled, but then one day everything is stolen, something happens to the things, something or the other happens, and then everything is finished. That's the idea. So Prabhupada says this is like happiness on this material world. Transient comfort. But even that comfort is designed to give him unhappiness. He's taken out of the water so that he doesn't die. And he'll be able to experience unhappiness or suffocation in water again and again and again and again. This is what is material world. So Srila Prabhupada says, but actually there is no enjoyment in this material. It's transient comfort, and that's it. Actual enjoyment is with Krishna. And that's why Prabhupada quotes Sadhu Sang, Sadhu Sang, Sar Shastra Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sang, Sar Siddhi Koi. So, the whole point is it's so difficult to understand that this place is full of mysteries because the happiness we receive is so overwhelming, even if for a momentary moment, because we're so addicted to this kind of happiness, we simply forget that this place is full of mysteries. We simply forget it. So entire Buddhist philosophy is based on this very concept that this is a place of mysteries. So in Buddhism there are four noble truths, and one of the truth is that this is place of miseries, and the next truth is we are bound in this place of miseries by our desires, and the next truth is if you free yourself from desires then you get nirvana, and the last truth is how to get free of these desires by following the process given by Buddha. Eightfold path. So that's the whole point there. Any genuine spiritual process will teach you that this world is not a place to live. It's this place of sin, mortality, and death. That is this place all about. So it's so difficult to understand. We generally get so much swayed off and deviated by happiness on this material world. Even the momentary happiness of this material world is so impressive on a mind that we tend to forget everything else. So Bhaktisiddhanta used to say, actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to give this story that a man, he actually accidentally fell down the well. And he saw on the bottom of the well, there were a lot of millions of snakes. But when he was falling, he just got hold of a branch of a tree, and he was hanging in the air. in the valley. He was not on the floor, he was not on the top. In the valley, he was hanging, catching the stem of a tree. Now he's in a problem because in the well, there are so many snakes. If he goes down, he dies because of snake bite. If he goes out, then there were tigers and leopards all around the well. So they could have eaten him. So he can't go inside and he can't go out. So what to do? He was just hanging. But suddenly he saw a beehive on the top of him or under the branch of the tree. So somehow nectar started to drop. So, what to do, how to realize that this world is full of miseries? That's the challenge there. Our senses are so strong, we feel so much sense gratification. Even after so many years of devotion, we are simply not convinced that this world is full of miseries. Why we are not convinced? How can I tell? We are not convinced because we are doing sense gratification. Now, a person who knows, we know that the water in drainage, that's not good. Drain water is not good. So especially civil drainage. That's absolutely not good. It's sewage. So none of us will like to drink sewage water, right? Nobody will like to drink sewage water because we're convinced it's bad. Smell is bad. It's bad for health. There's so many bacteria. It's so unclean. So even in our dreams, we will not drink sewage water. But then how come we are enjoying this immaterial world even after becoming devotees? Srila Prabhupada says this material world is like a stool. And we like to eat stool. So how is that? We know this is stool. We know this is nonsense. But still we like to eat this stool. Now this is a mysterious phenomenon. Let me put it like that. This means that we are not convinced this place is not fit to live. We still want to live in. We still want to enjoy. We are weak and we forget all these things. And then we just tend to do sense gratification. So to the degree we do sense gratification, to that degree, we have not understood that this place is full of miseries and not a place to, and not a fit place to live in. So that is a mathematical equation. So you can't say that, oh, actually, I know this place is full of material miseries, and then you're watching television, you're drinking, you're eating outside food stuff and blah, 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 and you're enjoying this material world, then it makes no sense. You're speaking something, but you're doing something else. It's like you're saying, so I want to go from Charlotte to New York. Suppose if you're saying that, okay. But you catch a flight to Las Vegas. So how do you reach New York? You're going the other way around. That's the whole idea. So most of us are actually diabolical, let me put it like that. We speak something, say something, we believe something else, we understand something else, we write something else. It's a simply mad situation. But Srila Prabhupada says this situation with conditioned soul can be treated by association with devotees and saintly persons. If we associate with good devotees, who are convinced that this material world is full of miseries. How do we know that they're convinced that this material world is full of miseries? By seeing the actions. What do we see in the actions? That they will not be involved in sense gratification. Then we will be convinced that they really understand. So these people, these sadhus we associate. Sadhu sang sar shastra koi. The very word sadhu means gentleman. The very word sadhu means gentleman. And gentleman means a person whose senses are controlled. That's what Manu Samhita explains. So the advice is associate with those people whose senses are controlled, who really to the depth of their soul, to the core of their soul, they understand that actually this place is not a place to live in. It's not a good place. This I mean to say, who wants to? In America, you might feel it's a good place. It's a different thing. If you really want to realize it's not a good place to live and come to India and live somewhere, maybe in Shahadra or some place. Actually, this is important. You see, Bhakti Sanat Saraswati Thakur, he didn't used to live in gorgeous palaces. He was invited many times. He was invited by kings and rich people, but he never visited them. Once or twice he might have, but he often didn't visit them. He used to live in mud, his temple, and very simple living there. And he didn't used to open windows and doors. He used to keep them shut one devotee came and he was Bhaktisandhya Sikhtakur, he was chanting. He was like close to him. I think it was Kunjdava. He came, Kunjvihari, and he came and Kunjvihari was very close to Bhaktisandhya Saraswati Thakur. So he came and he said to Bhaktisandhya, please open the window, it's so dark and hot. Let some fresh air come in. Bhaktisandhya said, no, don't open the window, otherwise I will mistakenly think that this material world is a place to live in. It's a good place if some fresh air and sunlight comes in. So that devotee, I think Kunjvihari, he was very disturbed. He said, come on, this is philosophy and this is something else. It's so messed up in the room. So he himself stood up and opened the window. He was very close to Bhaktisandhya. He could do that. He opened the window. He said, no, you please keep quiet. And he opened the window. Why are you suffering here? So he played obeisance. He was leaving. And when he was reached the door, he was about to close the door. Behind him, he saw in the back again the door window was closed. Bhaktisandhya got up and closed the window. That's the point. He said then afterwards, the next day he gave a lecture and he said, don't make your life comfortable. Otherwise, you will fall in this error that this material world is a good place. So don't make your life comfortable. Don't even make your life completely frustrating, otherwise you'll not be able to do devotion. But live simply, that's all. So that you don't fall in illusion that, oh, it's such a nice place and such good and everything is nice here. It's very easy to be seduced by illusion and think that, well, there's no problem in my life. Everything is good. My home is good. My family is good. My job is good. My pay is good, everything is good. So it's up to us. We have to, actually it is said, Krishna consciousness means the art of culturing, nourishing good spiritual thoughts. That's Krishna consciousness. We are trying to make our life in such a way so that we can nurture these thoughts which are given by scripture. And then slowly we will be able to see how this material world is actually full of miseries. And we will never forget. Even if Srila Prabhupada was living, and Srila Prabhupada lived in America, in the initial days of ISKCON when he was in America, his devotees, his disciples used to actually keep him in very gorgeous places. Very pompous, very gorgeous places. His room was very big and very gorgeous. But Prabhupada never fell into this error of thinking it's a good place. So why, the question is, why Srila Prabhupada remembers this and why do we forget? Why we do forget these things? And how can Srila Prabhupada remember this? And it all depends on the chanting of holy name and purity of heart. The more we, actually that's very important to be, if we chant properly, by the power of holy name, we'll be able to remember the real nature of this material world. If we don't chant properly, by illusion, we'll be confused. We'll become confused. And that is why you see many devotees, Kunti Maharani prays, let the troubles come in my life again and again. Why? Because she knows that when there are no troubles, there's a tendency to actually forget Krishna. Forget reality. And that is why in scriptures there is a sutta which is called as Dukh Sutta. where dukkh, miseries are being glorified. And there are some verses in which this material world is glorified. Why? Because this material world and miseries of this material world, they are helping us to actually surrender to Krishna. So in this sense, they are actually glorified. That they are serving us, they are helping us to approach Krishna. Anything that helps us to approach Krishna, that is good in one sense. So even lust, anger, enviousness, in one sense, that is also good. Because due to lust, envy, anger, all these negative things, our mind becomes frustrated, and then we seek Krishna, Krishna. We come to your shelter so that we can get little peace and happiness. And so that's the point. So then this means they are helping. And that is why one of the great poets of Islam, he said, invite lust, anger, and envy in your room. Invite them. And when they will leave, they will make your room more cleaner than before. That's a very nice idea. So they are our guests. They are not our enemies. They come, we resist them. And when they leave, we become more stronger than before. But that we can resist them only when we are with God. If we are not with God, then they will actually lead us down to hell. That's all. So for a devotee, devotee understands in the association of devotee, other devotees who are strong, who understand all these points, we can understand gradually that yes, this place, Srila Prabhupada says it's a rotten place, it's a nonsense place. So many adjectives Prabhupada used for this material world. It's rotten, it's nonsense, it's stool. And it is actually. So who wants to live in slums? Everybody wants to live in cities and good houses. So this whole material world is like a slum. We want to go back to spiritual world and live there with Krishna. That should be a cherished desire. That was a desire of Raghunatha Swami. He wanted to stay in the service of Radha and Krishna. That was a desire. He wanted to stay on the bank of Radha and Shyamkund. That was his sole desire. He didn't want anything else from God. Although Krishna would have given him anything, whatever he would have desired, but he didn't. He was simply interested to stay in Vrindavan in association with devotees. And that's why Prabhupada says, all members of Krishna conscious society must themselves be perfect sadhus in order to give a chance to fallen conditioned souls. This is the best humanitarian. So we think humanitarian work is actually giving food or giving blankets or putting some camps. That's not humanitarian work. Humanitarian work is, Prabhupada says, is to become perfect devotees. Best humanitarian work is to become pure devotee. Because if you become pure devotee, then other people will this will give a chance to other fallen conditioned souls to come in devotion. So that is a best humanitarian. To improve ourselves, that is a best humanitarian work. Because that will inspire others to actually get to Krishna consciousness. Isn't it? So that's the point of this whole verse here. I think I should. I think I'll end up here because I have another class now. So is there any questions here? And I am also a little sick today. That's the point.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much for such a wonderful class, Prabhu. I hope you feel better soon. Yeah, if you have any questions, please go ahead quickly.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you, Prabhu. Prabhuji, as you say, that we have to make ourselves better, as the last line Prabhupada is mentioning. How do we make ourselves better, Prabhuji? One thing I got is like doing good chanting, which is not happening for me at least. What are the other ways we can make ourselves better, Prabhuji?
Well, we can make ourselves better by actually preaching also. Preaching this Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says. If we distribute, our knowledge expands. It is said in scriptures. What's that? By distributing money, money becomes less. But by distributing knowledge, knowledge becomes more. That's the idea. So if you want to become better, make others better. And in the process, we will become better and perfect sadhu. So that's one way. If we preach others, one thing is, Madhvacharya says, by preaching, we will be freed of enviousness. That's a very important point. I actually read this in Madhva commentary many years back. And I remembered this because it seems there is solution for lust. I mean to say, lust means, I mean to say, you. So you don't see bad stuff, hear bad stuff, and then you can sort of control it. But what's the solution of envy? Envy is envy. Envy is between devotees. He's a good devotee, this is like that devotee, and this is that. Why I'm having, not having. Why this devotee is being given so attention? So this envy is a problem even for demigods. On top of us. And even the lust, anger, and greed, the base is envy, envy of Krishna. So how do you get free of this enviousness? That the only solution is when you preach. Because by preaching, we will understand that every person is a part and parcel of Krishna, and we will develop compassion for them rather than enviousness for them. So one is preaching. It's a simple way, but it's very effective. And Mahaprabhu recommends that. What's that?
Okay.
So another way to become actually perfect sadhus is actually Srila Prabhupada says, if you want to advance very fast, then you take risk in preaching. Risk. Now you might ask, what risk should I take in preaching? Well, speak truth. That's a big risk. If you speak truth, nobody will like you. And they will say what they are speaking. So that's a big risk. And they will say, well, this Mataji or whatever, they speak so strong and they speak so hard. And they say this material world is full of miseries and devotion is a little difficult and you have to become pure. And this is truth, actually, isn't it? Manushanam sahasreshu kashyatati siddhi. It's so difficult to become a devotee, in the real sense of the term devotee. So we have to tell people, you know, be serious. Don't take things lightly. Devotees, the other devotees need to tell them. And this is what is Bhagavatam all about. See, Bhagavatam is clearly saying that people become attached to the children, their wife, but actually they don't realize that the children and their wife and their relatives, they are dacoits. Rishabhdev says. Now, do you want to say this to others? Now, if you say, who will like you? Nobody's going to like you. But that's what is Bhagavatam. So, we have to repeat the message. That's a risk. To speak truth is always a risk in this material. People don't like to speak truth. So, they speak truth. That risk you can take in preaching by giving the message as it is. Prabhupada says in the last line, that is the best humanitarian work. Well, it's a risk if you say, so giving food is not humanitarian work, or giving charity is not humanitarian. Who will like us? But okay, no problem. But if Bhagavatam says, we say. So that's a risk that we can do. And of course, we can serve Vaishnavas. And actually, not just serve Vaishnavas, but like to serve Vaishnavas. If you like to serve devotees, I like to actually lose your independence. That's the whole point. It's not just service. If you want to become perfect sadhus, lose your independence. You should like to become dependent on others. That's a very important point. We should relish to actually become dependent on devotees. We should relish accepting orders. We should relish our condemnation. That we should relish. The day we relish when people abuse us, people condemn us, that day we are very near to becoming our perfect sadhu. So that we can do. We can actually serve those devotees whom we don't like. Then you become a good devotee. Because if you serve devotees whom you don't like, they will speak something here and there of you, and they will not treat you nicely, but you have to tolerate it, and then you will become very dear to Krishna. Because Krishna says that, Krishna says in second chapter, when Arjuna asks the symptoms of Sita Pragyasya Ka Bhasha, how does liberated person sit, walk, talk? Krishna says, in that context, he says, my devotees, my advanced devotees, they actually love the enemies. They don't distinguish between enemies and friends. They serve everybody. And in the process, they become flourishing. So that's the whole point there. So I think that are the ways. Of course, one practical solution I can give you is read Prabhupada books. That's very important. Devotees don't take time to read Prabhupada books. You have to finish Bhagavatam Chaitanya before you die. You can keep on reading daily one verse, but time is short. So take out time to read books, Prabhupada, because when we have knowledge, then our concepts are clear. And our concepts are clear, our goal is clear. When our goal is clear, that is, we are very near to perfection, because our goal is clear, and we can, then we will do anything to achieve our goal. So that these things, if we can do, is, and then we can become perfect sadhus. Of course, the last thing is mercy of God. That's always there. Krishna has to become happy by our endeavors. Krishna and his pure devotees. So all these things, if we keep in our mind, we can become perfect sadhus.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. First of all, I will seek your blessing so that before I die, I get to reach the Prabhupada books. Yeah. So please bless me. Bless me. I'm trying, but yes, not doing it quite well. And the second thing I would say, I have two questions related to your answer, Prabhu. I'll quickly put them. And when you say preaching, I do try to preach. I'm a very preachy person by nature. And, then what happens, my mind also tells, I myself, I don't have a pure consciousness. What right do I have to tell others all the good things when I myself is not a good person or good
consciousness? You should not think like that, because we are ordered by our spiritual master. We are ordered by Prabhupada, we are ordered by Lord Chaitanya to preach. So it's an order. So whether we are qualified or not qualified, we have to take the message like a postman and deliver to others. It's not necessary. You're right in the sense we should preach what we follow. That's the rule of dharma. If we can't follow, then don't tell us. But at the same time, because it's the order, we can't deny. That's the whole point. So you might not be trained to fight, but if there's an order of your superiors, go and fight. So even if you don't know how to fight, you have to go. What to do? So in that sense, we preach by the strength of order. Otherwise, we can't. In real sense, like you feel, we also feel. But on the strength of order, we keep continuing. Because it will please Prabhupada and it might help others. And another thing is, if we can't follow, no problem. At least some other person can follow him and he can make his life perfect. That's a very nice thing. So in that sense, we are servants when we are preaching. We are not masters when we are preaching. We are servants of parampara. We're giving the message. We're requesting you, please follow. And I'm also trying to follow. And let us follow together. That's what Upanishads says. Upanishads, there is a whole mantra there which says, the spiritual master says to his disciple, that you try to follow, I'm trying to follow. Let us both try to follow and be blessed so that we both don't have obstacles to attain the Supreme Truth. That's actually one mantra in Upanishads. So yeah, we can preach like that, with that understanding.
So other thing that you said, like when you speak the truth, people will not like you. And that's true, Prabhu, because whenever I get to serve Srimad Bhagavatam and I say that we are fallen, material world is difficult, and I have few senior devotees telling me, what is the point of repeating the same thing, that we are fallen. So I often fail to put the bitter truth in a very palatable way, because we hear Srila Prabhupada, and it comes out as it is from my mouth as well, because I try to listen to Srila Prabhupada. Senior Mataji, I don't want to name her.
No, I'm asking your name.
My name is Anuradha Devidas.
Okay. Okay, anyway, yeah, I mean, no, you have to speak the truth, that's all. I mean to say, it's Bhagavatam speaking. Keep on speaking. And if people don't like, no problem. Sometimes you can put it in a way where people are not offended. That's also a trick there and the way to do it. But sometimes you can't help it out. Who will like? But if devotees are saying, why you keep on repeating these things, either there's a problem with the devotee, senior devotee, or your presentation might not be so balanced and mature. That might also be a case. So I don't know what's happening. But either way,
second one is true, Prabhu. Because I keep saying that, you know, scriptures are not there to satisfy our whims. It is as it is. And, you know, whether we like it or not, it is like a medicine. We have to take it to get cured. Maybe they don't like those lines. So, yeah, it is a problem with my presentation. But, yeah, bless me, Prabhu, so that I can get better. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Keshavanam Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. Do you have time? I know you said you have another class. I don't know.
Yeah. I have time.
Okay. So I appreciate the answers that you gave to Anuradha Mataji. One of my questions in the translation of the verse, it says, those who are self-realized simply take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to get out of this dangerous material existence. And you gave wonderful practical tips about how to be better and how to, how to further ourselves on the path. But at the same time, we're often told that we can never be completely free from desires. And so, I was just wondering if you could give us some tips on how to curb our desires, because especially in grahastha life, when we are surrounded by so much temptation all the time. And, you know, we chant hard, we try to do all the right things, but that desire for something is always there.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, to say that's the most difficult thing, desire. So Prabhupada, some devotee asked Prabhupada, one devotee, he asked Prabhupada, what is Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada simply said one word, desire. And that's the bottom line. That's what Krishna is looking for. What is our desire? And it takes time. Let me just put it like that. It takes time. But the question is how to purify our desire. That's the question. In fact, when we're surrounded by so many temptations and so many in city life, so difficult, surrounded by non-devotees and blah, blah, blah. What to do? The only solution for this is, Actually, second chapter, what's that? Second chapter, 62nd or 64th verse, Krishna says, Rag Dvesh Vimukta Istu Vishayendriyesh Charan Atma Vashayir Vedaya Prasadam Tikshati. This is a very important verse. I think you can, after this class, just have a look at this verse. And Krishna is giving the answer to your question. Second chapter, 64th verse. Krishna is giving a very mysterious answer here, because yogis and gyanis, they will not at all understand what Krishna is speaking here. That is why yogis and gyanis, they don't read second chapter. They read sixth chapter, where they can actually feel, they can really come at same page with Krishna. But Krishna says that, well, Rag Dvesh Vimukta Istu Vishayendriyesh Charan. He says, you actually keep on working in the society. Don't leave people, don't leave society, don't leave temptations, don't leave them. You might be surrounded by temptations. Don't run away from them. Running away will not help us. Because whether we are in front of the object, whether we are away from the object, temptations are there in the mind. We can't help it out. So what to do? Krishna says, well, Rag Dvesh Vimukta Istu, become free of, if you want to avoid temptations, become free of rag, attachment and envy to the objects. But then how to do this? Then Krishna says, Atma Vashair Vidhe Atma. He says, first of all, Atma Vashair. He says, first of all, control your mind, Atma Vashair, control yourself. Control yourself. But then the question is, how to control the mind, how to control yourself? Krishna says, Atma Vashair Vidhai Atma. He says, fix your goal. There is the trick. There is a trick. If your goal is fixed, then the temptations will not bother us. Whether we are in Braslai, whether we are in Brahmachari. If a goal is not fixed, even a sannyasi will fall. It doesn't matter. You see the whole point. A businessman, a very successful businessman, his goal is to earn money. Money, 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 and his business. And sometimes these successful businessmen, they don't have enough time even for their family, and they don't even give attention to their family. Because their whole mind is occupied with earning money and with business. Similarly, I mean to say, Einstein, what about Einstein? His mind was occupied with theory of relativity, mathematics, science, and his family life was, his wife was not really happy with, I think his wife was Emma, who was this? Emma Einstein. Was that her? So she was not happy. Even Feynman's, Feynman's life was good, but even this, who was that? Stephen Hawking's, his married life was not at all good. That's another point, his married life was not at all good. The point is, he didn't have time to give attention to his family. He was actually not sucked up in his family because he was completely focused on his branch, his physics, cosmology. So, and Prabhupada actually says in Purport of Bhagavad-gita, lack of goal leads to frustration. And then frustration leads to sense gratification. The base of sense gratification is frustration. Why do we do sense gratification? Because they become frustrated. You see, there is a whole concept of binge eating in America. People who are frustrated, they eat a lot to actually relieve their frustration, and they become very fat simply because they are frustrated. So, or maybe people involved in illicit sex or alcohol drinking because they're frustrated, they've like nothing to do. So let's extract some enjoyment from something. But people who have higher aims in life, they become free of these temptations. And we have the highest aim in life, Krishna. So why we should be actually distracted by these temptations? That can only happen in one case, when we are not convinced that our goal is to attain Krishna. That's the whole point. So Prabhupada mentions that, all acharyas mentions, we have to be we have to make ourselves convinced of the goal of life. We have to get out of this birth and death somehow. We have to attain Krishna's service somehow. And our whole reading of philosophy and pastime should again and again actually make us remember and make us realize that, yes, here, this verse, this material world is not full of miseries. Get out of this material world. It's making us, it's helping us to fix a goal. And when we lose sight of the goal, then our car, you know, it goes here and there, here and there. Otherwise, we are on a highway. We are going to Golok. But when you lose the sight of Golok, when there's fog or mist or darkness, then your car will go in some farm on the side or in some, so what do we say in America? What's that? So if you're going on a highway, then there is, 71 or 7, something. So you turn and go somewhere else.
Diversion?
No. In America,
exit,
what's that?
Exit.
I forgot. 2 years I didn't come to America. Forgot. So you take some wrong exit and you're going somewhere else because you lose the sight of the goal. So yeah, that's very important. That's why in the discussion with Raman Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first asked Raman Rai, what is Prayojana? Tell me. Then we will discuss Abhidhaya and other things, Asambandha. But first tell me Prayojana. That's a very reverse technique because we say Sambandha, Abhidhaya, Prayojana. But Mahaprabhu says, tell me first Prayojana, what is goal? And then I will discuss Sambandh and Abhidhaya. Otherwise, it will not make any sense. I will lose track when I discuss with you. We start discussing Krishna consciousness and we don't know why we are discussing Krishna consciousness. So the person will not be interested in Krishna. Why should I listen to Krishna consciousness, first of all? Why? So the goal has to be true. So you will get love of God, then if the person is interested in love of God, okay, fine, now I'm going to hear. I mean to say, any talk is like that. Any seminar you give, you first tell, okay, by hearing this seminar, you can earn $1 million. Okay, so everybody is attentive. Now, okay, $1 million. Now we will hear what is this person has to speak. Otherwise, you'll be sleeping in the seminar. So that's the whole point. Please. That's the trick to avoid temptations. There's no other trick. We can't suppress. Kim nigraha karishyati, Krishna says, what suppression can attain? It's not possible. We can't divert our mind simply artificially doing some techniques. That's not possible. Nothing will help. Only proper understanding of philosophy and associating with very good devotees who have urgency in their mind, not just information and not just a desire to get out of this material world. They have urgency in their mind. And that's why you see Sri Sampradaya Ramanacharya says that you should associate with devotees who are mumukshu. Mumukshu means devotees who have a keen desire to get out of this material world, who are not just after moksha, who are mumukshus. They have developed an anxiety to get out of this material world. That's what we want. And that's what Srila Prabhupada says, spiritual anxiety. That Rupa Goswami says in the verse, Sat Lalyam Api Aikalam Moolayam. So that kind of thing we want regarding a goal. And that is why it's very important to understand what's the prayojana of body avation is. That's actually, you asked this question and it's a good question because very few of us understand what's the goal of life. And very few of us even meditate on what's the goal of life because it's general, it's a misunderstanding among devotees that, okay, goal of life, that's a very high stuff. Why to think of that? Why to talk about that? Let's talk of basics. Yeah, we have to talk of basics, but then to make sense of basics, we have to talk of a goal. Otherwise, basics will make no sense. And to practice basics, we have to understand what's the goal. A goal is love of God, but that's not sufficient enough. What is love? What type of love of God? And all these questions have to be discussed. And then why do we want love? So what's the purpose of achieving the goal in itself? All these things have to be very clear, and then temptations will not bother us. I don't say it become 100% proof, because it takes time, but at large it will help us to get free of temptations, although we'll be surrounded by them, but we'll not be affected by them. That's why Krishna says, Atma Vashir Vidhyatma Prasadam Adhigachati. We will get mercy of Krishna that way, because we want what Krishna wants. Krishna wants that we should get out of this material world, and now we want to get out of this material world. Krishna will help us in all ways, in all possible ways. That's what I can tell. I have some practical thing I can think of when you ask how to become free of temptations. I mean, to say, I could have said chant Hare Krishna sincerely and associate with devotees, but I know, you also know, these are things we are following, but this is what I think the trick there to get free of temptations, what I practiced and what I feel. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you so very much. That was such a beautiful answer. I really, really appreciate just fixing our minds on our goal, on the goal. And I love what you quoted from Srila Prabhupada, lack of goal leads to frustration. I mean, that's so important to remember. And I'm so grateful. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. And please feel better, get some rest, and take good care of yourself.
Thank you.
Haribol.
Thank you, Mataji, for such a beautiful question and wonderful answer, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Yeah, I've seen my brother itself, lack of goal. He went with frustration. He had gone into so much stuff. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, do you have time? Two hand raised.
Yeah. No problem. Yes.
Gail Mataji, please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. This is a follow-up to your answer previously to Anuradha Mataji. You were saying that we should learn to or desire to be dependent on the Vaishnavas. Now, this word dependence usually has negative connotation in the mundane world. You know, we are encouraged rather to be independent. So can you please elaborate?
Right, absolutely right. Western world is all about independence. And now the East is following the West. We have to be independent in all aspects of life. Our youths are talking about liberty. All from that comes this liberty, rights for freedom, and etc. But you know what? This is a whole philosophy of Madhvacharya where he says there are just two concepts in this material world. I want to say in this whole universe. One is dependence and one is independence. And the whole conclusion of all philosophy is independence leads to miseries and dependence leads to happiness. Now, here dependence means, here dependence doesn't mean that we lose our independence. The whole point is when you become dependent on a bad master, then you lose your independence. But when you become dependent on a good master, then you become more independent. That's the logic given by our acharyas. When you become dependent on good parents, you become more independent because they will teach you good things. And you will not do bad things and you become more independent. You will learn how to actually work in society. People will like you. And so you become more happy. So in that way, dependence has actually independence inherent in it. But that independence is born of dependence. That is good. But the independence which is not born of dependence, that is bad. So in modern world, the connotation of dependence is bad because people feel we lose our independence, but that's not the case. That they feel because there's no perfect master. And then people exploit them, people don't guide them. I mean to say, who doesn't want to have a good guide? Even in colleges, we have, so when people do PhD, sometimes people have good teachers and good guides, and they feel so happy to have a good guide that they can actually help them in PhD and give them good degrees. And people remember their teachers lifelong. So that way, that is the whole discussion of dependence. In that context, we have to understand dependence. Otherwise, it can, you're right, I mean to say, people tend to take in a bad way. They're right, because in a sense, there is no good master in this world. There's no perfect master. Dependence on God is real independence. And that's why Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, 4 regulative principles for freedom. He says, you follow regulative principles to become free. That's a very interesting line. Because people think to follow rules and regulations that will constrain your independence, but no. Following rules and regulations of scriptures will make you more independent. Just like following rules and regulations makes a citizen more independent. If he follows rules and regulations of the city, he can freely move about in the city. But if he doesn't follow some constraints, then he's in prison. He becomes more constrained. So that's the whole concept of dependence and independence. I don't know whether I've explained myself.
No, I'm still not clear about how this independence that one attains by becoming dependent on a proper master, what that looks like.
Actually, you see, when we become dependent on Krishna, we become free of this material body, of conditioning. Now, conditioning is a constraint, lust, anger, envy, greed. Body is a constraint, and we become free of it. And that's called liberation. So we become more free, we become more independent. Do you see in that sense? Because mm-hmm. we become devotee of Krishna. So that is the sense of independence born of dependence.
Okay. Independence from conditioning then.
Yeah, right. Independence of conditioning, which is a big, 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 big independence.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Prabhu, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Pooja Arora, Mataji, please go ahead with your question, Mataji.
Okay, last question, I'll just take.
Yeah.
Cut it off.
Hare Krishna, Gurudev, Sarva Pranam.
Hare Krishna.
My question is, if someone really wants to serve Vaishnavas, but if he or she is able to do this because of poor physical or financial reasons. So in that case, what should we he or she do? In that case,
no problem. If there is some
pray physical to Krishna or Narasimhadev for good health as well as good financial conditions, so that we serve Vaishnavas more betterly.
Yeah, you can pray. No problem. If the so if your motive is clear, then yeah. You can pray for health, no problem.
The motive is only to serve Vaishnavas and
okay. If that's a big problem, then you can pray to Narasimhadev. If it's posing a big, big, big problem in spiritual life, then you pray and Narasimhadev will find a solution.
Prabhuji, one more question is, if in Prabhuji, could I ask a question in Hindi?
Yeah, you can ask.
Prabhuji, यदि रसोई में हम लोग जो भोजन बनता है, उसमें प्याज लहसुन का इस्तेमाल होता है और हर समय ऐसा possible नहीं है कि हम ठाकुर को कृष्ण को भोग लगाएं और हमारे पास ऐसी व्यवस्था नहीं है कि हमारे पास प्रभुपाद की या नरसिंहदेव की या कृष्ण की कोई deities available हैं. तो ऐसी स्थिति में हम केवल चैंटिंग के बेस पे कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस में आगे प्रोग्रेस कर पाएंगे अथवा हमें प्रसादम लेना ही पड़ेगा. मतलब इन केस अगर जैसे कुछ स्थिति में महिलाओं को 15-20 एक दिन भोजन नहीं बनाना और कोई और नहीं है ऐसी व्यवस्था की कोई और प्रसादम बना सके.
No problem. So in that case, just chant. That is a scenario and we can advance nicely.
Okay.
Krishna understands the situation. He's not a machine. There's a genuine problem, then simply chant and pray to Krishna. That's all.
Sincere chanting is sufficient in that case.
Yeah, in that case, in that special case, yeah.
Yes. Sincere chanting. This is the foundation of Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much, Gurudev Dandavat Pranam.
Okay, Jai Hare Krishna. So, Mataji, I'll just stand up here.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you. Even though you're not feeling well, you gave your valuable time and being so merciful. Thank you. And we look forward to your again in the future. Let's pay our respects and all the devotees. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhya Shri
Radhe.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, all devotees. We will end the call here and join again tomorrow.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.